Let's get to the word this morning. Now, I'm talking again about the favor of God and favor manifested. Like I said, grace and favor seem to be the same, but they are not. Now, our problem is many of us don't really understand what grace is. We think it's some mamby-pamby kind of love. God loves us, you know, so because of grace. And many who don't understand grace live very disgraceful lives because they think that grace is a license to sin. But God wants us to know that His grace is different. It's His ability. For example, you know, when you read about Paul going through this tough time in his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he's going through a really hard time and he says, I'm praying, God, please take this away from me. He says, I prayed three times. He knew that this was not from God. He knew it was from the devil. He says, a thorn, the enemy came and sowed a thorn in my flesh. And he's saying, God, this is from the enemy. Remove this from me. And God replied in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, my grace, listen to this one, is sufficient. Everybody know the scripture? My grace, come on, is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Grace equals strength. Paul goes on to say, therefore, I will gladly boast in my infirmities or in my weakness so that the power of God may rest upon me. So grace is the strength. Grace is the power of God. God's released ability for us to cope with life. Now, also so that we might be saved by grace. And the word to save is to deliver completely. So the grace of God is a powerful thing that saves us. We are saved by grace. Come on. Amen. So that's not a weak thing. That's a powerful thing. God's strength being revealed. God's power over the power of the enemy. That's what grace does. All right? By grace are you saved. So we have been saved by grace, but we are also sustained by grace. It is grace that holds us up. So may grace be multiplied to you. And when we pray at the end of the service, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, which is more than just thank God for grace. We were under the law, but now we live under grace. Under law, everything cannot. Under grace, everything can. That's not what it says. Because of grace, we are more powerful than those who lived under the law. You see, in the law, I've shared this before, you will hear me repeat myself again. Under the law, if I put a knife into somebody and the person dies, it's called murder. Under grace, if I hate my brother in my heart, I have committed murder, which is more difficult. We say, of course, the New Testament is more difficult. Because under grace, man, you even think of hatred towards your brother, you already committed murder in the sight of God. That's why we need grace. The power of God helps us to do this. Whereas they did not have grace. But under Jesus Christ, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Come on, amen. So now, because Jesus lives inside of us, the grace of God gives us the ability and the power to overcome, to do things that the Old Testament people could not do. Because under the law, God was on the outside. Under grace, God is on the inside. And He gives us the ability to do it. Say amen. Come on, amen. You all sound like Man U fans. All right, let's go. Ooh. All right, let's go. But favor is different. So when you read about the favor of God in the Bible, you will find words like Jesus grew in favor or Noah found favor. It was not something that was given. It was something that was earned in the sense that favor is simply me responding to God's response to me. Because He loves me, I want to spend time with Him. Because He loves me, I want to do these things. See, the things that I am doing is not because He commanded me to do, but it's because I love Him. That's why I do what I do. like we just collected our worship offering. We give because we love. Come on. If you appreciate what God has done, giving is no problem to you. You give. So we're talking about different favor can be described as God's unusual liking to us, positioning us to be His evidence. So that everybody looking at us will say, that person, you know, really blessed. La. My father was a Sai Baba worshiper for many years until 3 days before he died. Then God did, you've heard our testimony, how the Lord saved him, Sai Baba. But he's got three sons who are preachers, right? Three of us who are pastors. So people meet my father and they say, Uncle, your sons, we all know your sons. They're all pastors, huh? Wow, Uncle, you're very blessed, huh? He said, yeah, I'm very blessed. It is not because he was a prayerful man. He didn't even know God. But the fact was, because his sons were serving God, my father is blessed. Evidence of the favor of God on my father was seen in the lives of his sons. He didn't earn it, but because we walked with God, everybody else within our reach gets blessed. Can I hear an amen? Before we moved into this property, when the land was here, it was just jungle, a big stream running right through this place, right here, big stream running through this. There was nothing. The other side was just oil palm estate. The moment we began to move in, Putra Heights was birthed. Everything in the area becomes blessed when God's people are there. God shows favor. Amen. Now, tonight I want to, tonight. Everybody say goodnight, Pastor. Oh, man. I want us to go to Acts chapter 7. And verse 9 through verse 14. You know, one of these days we're going to come and we're not going to put anything overhead so that everybody brings your Bible. And then I want to hear the sound of pages turning, especially new pages in a new Bible where you're struggling to open it up, like some of your Bibles in your houses which have been there for 15 years. Acts chapter 7, verse 9 through verse 14. And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. What else does he say? But God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over all Egypt and all his own house. Chapter 50, verse 20. As for you, you meant it. This is Joseph now speaking. You meant evil against me. This is the end of his, the chapter already coming to the end. God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Joseph is not the most prominent character in the Old Testament. And yet, when Stephen is giving his last sermon before he's stoned to death, the longest chapter in the book of Acts, as he's giving his sermon, he devotes 8 full verses to Joseph. David is mentioned just in passing. So the question is, why would he devote so much attention to a person who does not seem to be very important? And the answer is, he records it, God was with him and God showed him favor. So the evidence that I want to share with you, favor manifested, where is it seen, is found in this portion of scripture, basically in the life of Joseph. So I want to talk about, you know, we bring our attention to the manifold ways in which God evidenced favor in Joseph's life. Number one, Joseph manifested ministerial favor. Now, when I say ministerial, we often think of ministry. No. I'm talking about work. The word minister is to work. That's what it means. So I'm talking about the work that Joseph did. He was not a preacher. He was not a prophet. He was a slave. But in the work that he was involved in, God began to manifest his favor on Joseph's life. So we read Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 to verse 4, English Standard Version. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. Everybody seeing that? He was not a successful slave. He was a successful man. People may change your status, but God looks at you differently. Amen. They may call you all kinds of names. They may look down on the work that you are doing, but God values you. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Why is this in the Bible? I mean, to say that he was a slave was enough. Why to say that he became successful in the house of his Egyptian master? See, let me just go on. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Isn't that something? An Egyptian who can see the real God working in the life of somebody else. This is what God means when he shows favor to us. Wherever you are, people on the outside who worship other gods must see that the God that you serve is with you. And the Lord God caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer over his house, put him in charge of all that he had. Now, let me give you the second verse, chapter 39, verse 20 and 21. Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, and the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison, but the Lord was with him. Everybody say, the Lord was with him. That is the secret. The Lord is with you. Say amen. The Lord is with you. The Lord was with Joseph, showed him steadfast love. I like that word. It's amazing the adjectives that God uses, you know. Not just showed him love, but steadfast love. Ephesians 2 and verse 4, it is not God is merciful, but God is rich in mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, not just that God loves us, but God is great in his love. The riches of his grace. I love those adjectives that God uses. So he is in prison, but the Lord is with him, and the Lord shows him great favor. You see, it is not your position, it's your disposition. How do you respond? Do you grumble and complain at the place that you are in? Oh, I wish I was in a different job. I wish I was here. If we learn to understand that no matter where we are, God is with us, everything changes. I'm in a bad place. You know, this is very difficult. That is very... Now, the more you speak it, listen to me very carefully, please. If you are a believer, God, listen, confirms the word you speak. So if you keep confessing and talking about how bad situation is, God confirms it. Come on. This one's so bad, that one's so bad. Pastor, pray for my son, huh? Very naughty one. You prophesied. You have prophesied. So the child sends and listen. I am a naughty boy. Mommy and daddy say I am naughty. So I will be. You prophesy. You say things. Change our language. So happy to see my boyo, my latest grandson at the back. When I'm carrying him, I will say, just like all my other chuchu, you are so clever, so clever, so handsome, so good. So that, come on, not so naughty. Why you cry so much? Hi-ya. All right, that's a whole different message. It's not your position, it's your disposition. God blessed him in his ministerial work. Now, God wants to bless the works of your hands. Everything that you do, God wants to bless you. You are His child, man. He loves you with a great love. An abundance of mercy is for you. Everything is for you. He wants you to succeed. Which parent plans failure, frustration, defeat for his child? None. So God wants you to do well. I've preached on the ministry of work rather than the work of the ministry. Because people, when we talk about the work of the ministry, many people who come to church and don't do anything in the sense that they don't serve in Sunday school, they feel like they're not doing any ministry. But you need to understand that the ministry of work is far more important than just doing something on a Sunday. 6 days shall you work. God said that. Therefore, He wants to be with you in those 6 days that you can succeed. You kids go to school. 6 days you are in that school studying. God wants you to do well. I'll talk about that in just a little while. But God blessed him in his ministry, in the work that he was doing. Psalm 128, verse 1 and verse 2. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Here's the qualification, all right? Who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be. Come on. Why are you all so quiet, huh? Was there a game last night where you lost? No, huh? You shall be what? Happy, and it shall be. So if you're happy, God wants it to be well with you. He wants you to enjoy the work that you do. I'm sure you heard about this story where this rich Indian, you know, businessman, very rich man, he's walking on the crowded train in India. And, you know, he's got all his nice, they serve him all this nice food and all that, but doesn't have much of an appetite. He goes where, then he goes into the crowded section where all the poorer people, they are sitting on the floor all over the place. And he sees this family, this man, this woman, and then there are three children sitting there. They've got a little banana leaf there, some rice. She takes the water kind of thing, this rice water, she pours it on the food, and they eat, and the man takes a chili, and he bites the chili, and he's just eating the rice, and all of them are laughing and happy. And he wished in his heart, I wish I could be like them. He's got everything, but no appetite. Not happy. God wants you to be happy. When you come home, whatever meal is served, for goodness sake, don't grumble. Not enough salt. Why you didn't put enough salt? That one or so you want to grumble. Now, I have got sweet tooth. My favorite meal is for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, chocolates, Coca-Cola. Now, zero. I don't mean zero Coca-Cola, I mean zero coffee, kosong. Have you tried drinking kopi kosong or not? Can curl your hair, man. I have to drink that, man. Sometimes it's like drinking tar. But that's what I have to drink. That's what she gives me. Some of you asking, where, Pastor? Why you think I left her in my daughter's house and I went to Sepang? There, can drink three in one. No. No. Still, kopi kosong. Very, very disciplined. All right, so God wants to bless you. Then, number two, Joseph manifested mental favor. Not mental. Not mental failure. Mental favor. Genesis 31 verse 39. God's word translation. Pharaoh said to Joseph, because God has let you know all this, there is no one as wise and intelligent as you. Now, you notice or not, Joseph did not say that of himself, huh? You're so wise, so smart. Smart. Okay, let me say about me. When I went into Bible college, just 2 years, you know, after I got saved, and before I got saved, I used to take a lot of drugs. And if you know anything about drugs, it burns your brain cells, and brain cells do not reproduce. So I went into Bible college. I thought, you know, going into Bible college. Oh, this is exciting. Every day we're going to do Bible study. Because in church, Bible study is Bible study. Study the Bible. But when the man they gave me psychology, yeah, historical geography, I hated geography. Married a geography teacher. Later, God delivered me. Okay, so all this stuff, man, big books. I saw the books. I thought, what am I doing in this college, man? I can't study. I really cannot study because my brain's all cooked, you know. And I panicked. So went inside. I tried to do whatever I did. The first exams came. Passing grade, 70. I passed 70. The other students, the middlers, seniors, they knew my brother, Pastor Henry. So they look at me and they say, hey, how come your brother so smart, you so stupid one? You just get 70. What's wrong with you? And then memorize scripture. 50 scriptures in 1 week. No, you cannot miss the full stop. You cannot miss the comma. Must memorize full stop and comma also. Akilon. Not just the scripture, no. Full stop, comma also must be there because the lecturer said every jot, every tittle. Oh. That is old King James. Some of you don't understand. Cannot pass. All must be. I tried within 1 week, must produce. How? Cannot. I try. Everybody, finish early. They go out, play football. I cannot. I tried. I couldn't. Finally, just 2 days just before the exam, I went inside the prayer room. I got down on my knees. I prayed. I said, God, I cannot be a minister. I can't memorize, man. My mind is so bad. When I got saved, the day I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked into that room. I didn't see him, but he put his hand on my head and delivered me from all drugs. Now, 2 years later, I'm in that same, in a little room under the stairs, and I'm praying. Suddenly, I feel his hands again come on me, and he touched me. Man, memorized all of it. I graduated the top student in the school. Now, it's, so I say to every student, not cannot. If you allow God to touch you, you shall excel. Why is it the Jew has been so blessed intellectually? Because God said, I will bless you. You shall be a blessing to all the nations. This is why we need to understand that as believers, we come into a greater covenant. If the old covenant made with the Jews was so powerful, why do we need a new one? That's what Hebrews says. But because the new one was cut by Jesus, we come into a greater covenant. All of God's children should be mentally blessed. They should come up with new ideas, creative abilities. Come on, amen. They are the ones who should bless other people because of the way God has blessed them in their minds. All right. Ooh, so fast today. I got another 7 points. Okay, let's go. Some of you are getting nervous. Psalm 119, verse 99. I've become smarter than my teachers since I've pondered and absorbed your counsel. In other words, because I made your word, another translation says, because I've meditated on your word, you have made me smarter than my teachers. And this I've proven to be true. Going back to Penang, meeting some of my old teachers, I'm talking to them and they are talking to me. I think, why are my teachers so childish in the way they talk? It's not that I became smart. In just that, once the word of God gets into your system, I'm telling you, you can excel. Every young person should excel in their studies. There's no excuse, especially if you are a believer and you keep seeking God, you should excel. And all the young people said, oh dear, I shouldn't have come for service. Now parents are going to pick on them. Number three, Joseph manifested material favor. Ah, this one everybody liked. Last time we used to sing this song from the prayer of Jabez. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. There's one sister in our church. Every time sing, bless me, she... because material blessing. Yes, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. I wish she learned to give out. Living Bible, yes, it was God who sent me here, not you. He has made me a counselor to Pharaoh, manager of this entire nation, ruler of all the land of Egypt. Hurry, return to my father. Tell him, your son Joseph says, God has made me chief of all the land of Egypt. Come down to me right away. You shall live in the land of Goshen so that you can be near me with all your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, all that you have. I will take care of you. Isn't that good? When you can have more than enough to bless your children and your grandchildren. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That you can bless them at all times. I don't want my children to bless me in the sense that they give me things. I want to bless them and I want to bless their children to have more than enough. When I preach to pastors, I tell them my church is the best church. Every time I preach in another church, I say, I'm so happy to be in the world's second best church. I said, you know, my church is the only church where I have to fight with my board members so that I don't get an increase. You heard me? Pastor, you must get increment. No, no, no. You know why I don't need? Because I got more than enough. Seriously. It's not like I'm a millionaire, I've got so much money to throw away. No, no, it's just that I am so blessed already that I can bless my children and bless my grandchildren. And this is what should happen to every one of us. We can be a blessing to our children. When our grandchildren come along, man, we can bless them. A good man leaves a heritage for his children and his children's children. Listen very carefully. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous to inherit. But what I want to say is this. There's a difference between inheritance, lives a good inheritance, and the wealth. All that a wicked man has, if he's a wealthy man, is wealth. All that a good man has is an inheritance. And the word heritance means heritage. What kind of heritage will you leave your children? I wish I had the wealth plus the heritage, but I want to leave a good heritage for them. So you can be blessed materially. You must always have more than enough if you follow the principles of God concerning finances. You follow God's principles, you will never lack any good thing. I guarantee you. You will always have more than enough. God wants to manifest Himself materially in your life. Number four, God manifested, Joseph manifested marital favor. Genesis 41, verse 45. Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paaneah, which means God who speaks and lives. And he gave him Asenath, gift of the sun god, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, Heliopolis in Egypt, as his wife. Joseph went out over all the land to inspect and govern it. Now, the priest, or the priest, usually their daughters are the most beautiful, which they offer as a sacrifice to the gods. But this princess was kept for Joseph. Joseph did not go and try and tackle the girls, see which one good, try out first, work or don't work, try and see. He didn't have to. God gave him the very best. God gave him the very best. If you keep seeking after God, listen to me. God has the very best for you. The very best. If you would just, and the Lord was with Joseph, and God gave him favor. If the Lord is with you, you don't, that is the most important gift that God can give you, a good spouse. So it says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Come on, amen. He who finds a bad spouse, poor thing. Good wife, good thing. Bad one, poor thing. Now, the thing I want to say also is when God blesses your home, marital favor, He gives you the best of the best. Two sons were born, Ephraim and Manasseh. They became the strongest tribes in all of Israel. Go look it up. Ephraim took up the north, Manasseh went down to the south. But they were the strongest military, the strongest in every area, their sons, Joseph's sons. Why? It doesn't tell us much about Joseph's prayer life, but the fact that he always had God with him and God gave him favor. This is the thing we must always, you know, so the question is not whether God is with you, but am I with God? God is with me, but am I walking with God? If I do, I don't have to worry. God will bless me. He will bless my children. Did you know that in every Jewish home until today, every traditional Jewish home, Friday night, they would say a lot of blessings. They put a chair to welcome Elijah, you know, because that's what they do, one of the things they do. And what they will do is they will bless the children and they will say this, may you be like Ephraim and Manasseh until today. Every Friday night, they will say to their children, may you be as Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. So God wants to bless us in this area as well. As we close the service a little later, I'm going to pray for every couple. Because you know, the enemy can destroy a couple and a family, he has destroyed society. He has destroyed churches. All he has to do is just attack certain families. When we began this church, we always pray, God, please send us families, not just individuals. Families, you and your household shall be saved. That's God's plan. Every family, every household should have the blessing of God upon them. Your children should be blessed in their going out and coming in. This was the plan of God, that we and our children be blessed, and our children up to 1,000 generations. That the blessing will continue. If you remain righteous, that your seed will not beg bread. They will always have an abundance. If we just walk with God, have God with us, we can have marital favor. Last of all, everybody say amen. Joseph manifested medical favor. Why do I use medical favor? Because when we say take a medical, it means have an examination to test your physical health. Genesis 50 verse 22 and 23. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Lived a good life, strong life until the very end. God wants to bless us as well. Come on, amen. That God's favor is manifested in our physical being as well. That we should be strong, spirit, soul, and body. Come on, amen. That no sickness should dwell in us. You know, when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, what happened was he asked them to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Right? Listen. When I see the blood, I will come, the word Passover, I will come and I will cover you as a tent. That's what the word Passover means. It doesn't mean I will cross your door. It means I will cover you as a tent so that the enemy cannot come in. Then when you go out, everybody walks out from the blood, the doorpost. When they walked out, it says there was not one sick, not one weak person among them. That was the power of their deliverance. Not one sick, not one weak. Now remember, 430 years as slaves, beaten, malnourished in every area, not having enough in their home. But when they came out from under the door and walking under the blood, they walked out strong and healthy. Amen. This is God's plan for our lives. Now we do struggle, some of us do struggle with health issues. You know, I went through a bypass. We do struggle with these things, but God wants to bring us through it so that we come out stronger than we were before. It is never to come out weaker. We must always come out of every trial, every situation stronger than before. Come on. Not weaker. Oh, because I went through this, so now I'm weaker than people. No. We should be stronger. Come on. Energize even more. What the enemy meant for evil, God turns it around for good. And you can come out of every situation stronger than you were before. Every battle that you go through should make you stronger than you were before you went into the battle. And everybody say, amen. So this is how the favor of the Lord will be manifested. In every dimension of your life, God wants to be seen. Show them who I am. Show them what I'm doing with your life. I want you to be a walking testimony of the goodness and the favor of the Lord. Everybody say amen. Stand with me, please. Musicians, come.